Welcome to the Nova Churches podcast. We are a vibrant, dynamic, multicultural church in Alexandria, Virginia. Join us at 11 a.m. on Sundays. For more information, go to www.thenovachurch.com. We're excited to share this week's message with you. God bless.
You mean, you know, amen means let it be so. So when you're singing amen, you're saying, God, let that be so in my life today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good, somebody. I don't know about you, but I want to give him glory in my life. I just want to give the Lord glory and honor and glory and honor and say, God, I give you the glory today in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you for what you're doing. In the name of Jesus, I love what I feel in this place. The presence of the Lord is here. Amen. Amen. If you've got your Bibles, I'm going to transition quickly to the word of the Lord this morning. Matthew chapter 5 and Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, we're going to spend a lot of time in. Amen. Teenagers are in, right? Yes, teenagers are in with me. Amen. Matthew chapter 5. And Romans chapter 1. Matthew chapter 5 says, in the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works. Now watch this. The Bible says, so that they may see your good works and give glory to you. No, that's not what it says. So they may see your good works and give glory to your friends. No. Give glory to your family. No. It says, so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 21, says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Their foolish heart was darkened. Today, we're going to start probably a 2 or 3 part series, which pastor's not going to get through it all today, but I am going to preach to you for the next few weeks on, you ready for this? Living the given. You like what I did there? Okay, see, that's Thanksgiving. Living the given. And I practiced that. That was okay, turn to somebody and say, living the given, right? Okay, you can even do the shake if you want to. Okay. No shaking going on. Okay. Glory. I thought that was pretty clever. See, pastor's hipster, right? I may have lost my suit coat this morning, and I don't know where that thing is around here, but still hip. Okay. Give somebody a high five and tell somebody, living the given, and you may be seated. Amen. Hang with me as we're going to try to see if my mic has been fixed or if this thing's going to falter. We'll see. There's a famous true story that I've shared before by one of the great boxers of all time, Muhammad Ali. And if you know anything about Muhammad Ali and you know his backstory or you know anything about him, you know that he is famous for his confidence, if you may say. Now, some may deem that as arrogance, but he would, you know, always have a very pointed view. He would, you know, intimidate his opponents, and he would go and in the ring, he would have these float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. All right, y'all ain't ready for me. I've been practicing cardio boxing to get fit. Okay, no. All right. And Muhammad Ali, after he retired, he got on a plane, and one day he was sitting in first class, and the flight attendant came to him and asked him to buckle his seatbelt. Said, Mr. Ali, I'm sorry, you are going to have to buckle your seatbelt. And she came back again, and if you are familiar with this type of person, that they just seem to ignore all of the rules on the plane. She came back again as the flight was about to take off and said, Mr. Ali, we can't move until you buckle your seatbelt. And Mr. Ali replied, I don't need to buckle my seatbelt. And she said, what do you mean you don't need to buckle your seatbelt? Everybody has to buckle their seatbelt. And his response was, well, Superman doesn't need no seatbelt. And the flight attendant, now ticked off, very clever, says, Superman doesn't need an airplane either. Buckle your seatbelt. See, it's the funny point that you can get out of the story that he was so self-fulfilled and confident, if you will, that he said, I don't need to buckle my seatbelt. I don't need to do this. I'm Superman. I'm above this. I'm inevitable. I'm the best. And, you know, he just thought that he was above and beyond. He didn't know his limitations, if you will. And he was a man that believed that he was an autonomous man and a man that believes he can live without God and make it without God. And people that do think that will finally one day be rudely awakened when they understand that they are going to need God. At some point in their life, they can think all they want. There's people that say, I don't need the Lord. I don't need a relationship with God. I'm fine the way I am. But I've often found that it is people that say that until they are in a crisis where they absolutely need God. It is oftentimes in pastor's profession where my phone rings and there's somebody that is now heading to the hospital, or the phone rings because they've gotten the report that now all of a sudden they need the Lord because the report came back negative. And there's people that all of a sudden, these are the strangers that have never been to the church, but have maybe come or at one time in 8 years or 9 years, and they came years and years ago and they just said, I don't need the Lord. And then all of a sudden the negative report comes about and then they decide, I need God. I need the Lord. All of a sudden it is an awakening, a glass of cold water thrown on you. That is just a shocking awakening that says, it's like your system just awakens to the reality. I don't know. Have you ever had cold water thrown on you? Doesn't it stink? Especially if you're sleeping. You ever had somebody pour water on you while you're sleeping? Can I get a witness? No? Okay. Those of you that raised your hand, you have terrible friends. Those of you that did not raise your hand, you need new friends because you ain't got fun friends in your life, okay? So the reality of this is sometimes when you're there, it awakens you and it shocks you. And you come back to, I don't know what's going on. And too many times people in our day, in our age, in this world like to call themselves self-made. And I am absolutely opposed to people that think that they're all self-made. I did it by myself. I'm a self-made man. I'm a self-made millionaire. I'm a self-made entrepreneur. I've done this by myself. And they're essentially declaring in that declaration that they in and by themselves are the reason and the source for their success, as if there was nothing beyond or nobody else that had participated in getting them to where they are. I don't care who they are. I don't care what they've done. Usually there's always somebody that is a part of the process that helped them get there, whether it's a coach for an athlete, somebody taking them to practice, somebody picking them up, whether it's a company of somebody built, whether it's somebody that's never really and truly all by their self. And Jesus' Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 in verse 16, in the same way he says, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. We must understand this morning that what you do should be a reflection unto him, that what we do should be reflecting unto the Lord, that when people give us praise, hopefully it goes unto Jesus. Hear me today. We have to understand that when we give a light and our light is ours, it is a borrowed light that the Lord is putting in us. We are simply stewards of what God has given us. And somebody shout amen. Amen. Psalms 24 and 1 says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, and the world and all who live in it. We are managers of what God has has given us. We are managers of what the Lord owns. We are stewards, if you will, and He is the creator, and thus He can do whatever He wants with creation. As Psalms 50 and 12 says, if I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all that is in it. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 4 says, for everything God created is good. And nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. Hang with me, somebody. Thus, everything is essentially God's. Everything. Everything in the Greek means everything. Some of you need the Greek translation to get really what Pastor's talking about. Now, what that means is when we consider everything is often things that are even out of sight and out of mind. The land, the trees, the oceans, the mountains, the animals, the minerals, the oxygen, the sun. On a personal level, though, we find that it can become more challenging to understand that that's the Lord's. Can I get a witness, somebody? Because we usually use a possessive tense. That's my car. That's my house. That's my bank account. That's my lunch. That's why some of y'all have a problem fasting. I know what's up. That's my lunch. Don't touch my lunch. Get your own lunch. It's my health, my 401k, my portfolio, my energy. But all of those things, they belong to God. The desire is for God to get all the glory. The misperception of our time is mine, but it is not something that is solely focused to just our day and our culture of being all about me. See, that's where the selfie people come in and the selfie generations and the team of selfies and all about how can I generate more love for the self and how can I get more for me and me and how can I benefit greater? How does this benefit? In fact, there's some people that they will not do anything unless they find it to be beneficial to them in some way, some means, or somehow. I will only give to somebody unless it benefits me. There's people that will only give to a charity if it's a tax write-off, which our church is, by the way. I'm just letting you know. You like what Pastor said there? Yeah, that was good, huh? Yeah, Mother Williams got you. Yeah, okay. Now, and there's people that they will only do that if it finds a way to benefit them. I will only do this if I can find some direct correlation of how this comes back to benefit me. There are people that live to be in the spotlight, if you will. In fact, there's such a thing that I'm going to bring you to this cool cultural phenomenon that there's such a thing that there's a cell phone case, and the cell phone case has lights. It's called a Lumi. So when you're taking your selfie, you look good. You know what I'm saying today? Now, some of y'all think you look good no matter what, but some of y'all are like, no, I need extra light. Just turn that mug up. Got to get the lighting right and the angle just right and the duck lips, you know. Y'all know about the duck lips, right? Yeah. Now, guys, you're not supposed to do duck lips. I'm just letting you know. Guys do duck lips? No bueno, okay? But here's what I know. How did I get on this? Oh, selfies, bad, okay. So there's things, and it's generated to bring back this attention to blessing of the self. Teenagers will do anything they can so they can get more likes from a stranger that most likely they will never meet. Therefore, we find that applause for self takes precedence over morals and logic and Bible. And therefore, we find that we have to be careful of that. Because when we begin to put a blessing on self and self-centered, it is always an adversary of the kingdom of God. It is always an adversary of what the kingdom has. See, when we think about mine, can I preach for just a second? When it's all about me and my stuff, and the blessings are, how can I benefit out of this? And what does this do for me? We often get into I don't know if I'm willing to give that up. because I don't know if it benefits really self versus I don't know if it's the will of God in my life. Can I give you an example? See, that was the problem with the rich young ruler when he had a bunch of stuff. When he comes to Jesus, he liked to follow the checklist and he checked the boxes and he says to the Lord Jesus, I want to follow you. And I followed all the commandments all my life. In fact, I've kept them just really well. I'm a rich young ruler. I've got it all together. I've done everything. I haven't coveted. I ain't killed nobody. I ain't lied on nobody. I'm a good guy. I'm a good boy. Santa should bring me a nice present. No lump of coal for rich young ruler. But what I know is Jesus' response was, but go and sell all that you have. The problem of the turmoil of the rich young ruler begins to occur when he begins to say, all that you have. The possessive nature was, it's mine and my stuff. And I don't know what you're offering me, but I'm not willing to give it up because it's my stuff. See, I'm willing not to kill nobody. I can be willing not to lie. But what happens when it comes to something personal that costs you something, that God's saying, will you give that up? Will you begin to give that to the kingdom? Will you trust me with that area of your life? Can I preach it just a second? I wonder how many times God is saying, will you trust me with every area of your life? Will you trust me with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your soul? Will you trust me then? Or not just with the stuff that's easy. Will you trust me when it becomes difficult? Will you give it then? And that's where the self begins to take into this tension and this battle of, will I serve self or will I serve the Lord? Will I serve God? Am I willing to give it, or am I willing to do whatever I can to keep what I have deemed as mine? Well, I'm going to help somebody out today. And this is the answer to the rich young ruler's question. Let's explore what happens when we don't give to God and we don't give God the credit or glory, or we only give God half the credit or glory. Let us go to Romans chapter 1. In your Bibles, I hope that you open your Bibles, whether it's digitally or whether it's physically or some nature, and I hope that you would follow along with me on this because there's a lot to this, but this really goes with our Live in the Given series. Now, verse 18 of Romans chapter 1 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Boy, I could preach a whole bunch on that. Can pastor just throw that in there? I'm sure your little mind can go bubble, bubble, bubble of how pastor could really preach on that, of how people that hold the truth in unrighteousness, that just because you have truth doesn't mean you're righteous. Where's my organ, Brother Mike? I know it's on there. Don't hold back on me now, right? I'm just going to preach by myself. Now, here's what I know. That means that there's people that they have the truth, but they decide, I can have the truth, but I don't need to live the truth. I can have the truth and I can know the truth, but I don't need to actually apply the truth to my life. And because I don't need to apply it, you're living in an unrighteous state. And watch what happens. He said there's going to be wrath that is coming from God because of this. Why? Because God doesn't just expect us to know it, but he expects us to live it. Can I get a witness, somebody? And that's where we got to understand that God wants us to live what is in his word. He doesn't just want us to know it. And if we don't know it, that's a shame. But if we know it, we ought to live it and we ought to apply it in every area of our life. But verse 19, "But because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God had showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Verse 21. Now, this is where you want to sink your teeth in for today's lesson. that is contextual unto where I am. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. And watch this. Changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image like to a corruptible man. He says this is where it goes apart. Where does it start to turn? Where does it start to move? Because when they began to be ungrateful for what they had, when they began to realize that I don't need to glorify God, I've got this stuff, I've got this thing, I don't need to be thankful, I don't need to live grateful, I don't need to live thankful, it's mine, I worked for it, doesn't God know it's actually my money? That's pastor driving by slow right there. That's a drive-by preaching. You're firing at all of them. But that's the truth. Doesn't God know? God didn't get up on Monday morning at 6 a.m., get dressed, and go sit out in 30-degree weather and start the car and go to work. I did. That's my stuff. Doesn't God know that I worked hard for that? That's some people's reason why they don't tithe and they don't give offerings. That's the reason why people can't bless other people, because it's become all about self. Because when we begin to think that it's all mine and it's all self, we aren't grateful and understand that we're just stewards of the stuff. It's not really my stuff. I'm just entrusted of it for a moment. But when I am just entrusted of it, all of a sudden I understand it's just mine to manage. It's easier to give away. See, that's the beauty. And when you start to understand it's not really mine, I just go ahead and do it. I operate in a different context. I put on a different thinking and a different mindset that it's not really mine. God's just kind of given it to me to manage, but I want to manage it the best way I can because he's a stewardship God. And we know that he's a stewardship God because the Bible says, he that is faithful with a little shall be made ruler over much. Some people keep saying, God, give me more. And God's saying, hey, you ain't doing what I want you to do with what I gave you. Drive-by part two. Pastor's coming in hot today. Y'all ain't ready for me. Guns are blazing. I'm telling you. But that's the reality. And that's where people say, I don't tithe. I don't give God 10%. I don't live a lifestyle of giving God offerings. Let me just go a step further. I don't give unless I get credit for it is the other reason where people start to say that. Because I want the glory of what something. I said this before, and I'll say this again. Somebody came up to me and recently and said, Pastor, I'm sorry, I've been missing tithing for the last few months. And I looked at him, I said, I didn't know. They said, you don't know? I said, I don't know. I don't look at the tithing report. I don't know. Don't have a clue. That's the beauty today of preaching this, is I don't know who is or who's not. I know, for real. I don't know who gives. It's beautiful. I know general. I know stuff. I know particulars. You know why that's beautiful? Because it doesn't affect me. You know what it affects? You need to follow the principle of God. But watch this. When you do that, when you are a manager of his stuff, teenagers, move quickly, quickly. Kate, where are you going? Quick. Sit down. Don't come in and interrupt. Come on, guys. Watch this. What I know is that if I'm just a manager of his stuff, it's easier for me to manage it the way God wants me to. Same thing as pastor, not my church. God has put me here to entrust this. God, help me to be a manager of you, which is why it's easy to give to missions. See, y'all ain't catching this morning. It's easy to follow the mission of God when it's not my stuff. It's not my money. It's not my stuff. It's not my personal money. It's not our church money. Guess what? It's God's stuff. Why is that easy? That's why it's easy when God says, hey, give $1,000 to missions. No problem, God. If he speaks to me, I can follow. Why? Because it's not my stuff. It's his stuff. And so he's trusting you to obey. So the reason that we have this is people don't live that way because they view it as themselves and they're not grateful. Because if it's not yours, you're grateful and God gives it to you. And when you give it away, you're more grateful because you know God's going to give it back to you. See, I'm coming in good. And if you get the principle today, you'll understand that's the blessing of living a life of giving to God. Because when you give to him, you're trusting him. And you're saying, God, I trust in you. You're going to do it. You gave it before. You'll give it again. God, I know you're going to make a way out of this. That's the blessings of God of living a blessed life and living the glory of God is when we trust God. God will come through. Now, you may say, Pastor, where is that in the Bible? In Malachi chapter 3, we know. That's why he says in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8, just to show you the Bible of this, when we talk about giving and we talk about blessing, you should pray this every Sunday with Pastor. Why? Because it's a biblical covenant of blessing. When you give to God, listen to Pastor. I don't care if it's one penny. I don't care whatever it is. That's between you and God. You'll have to give account for that. But what I know is this. You ought to pray over your offering and your tithes. Because the Bible says you are entering into a covenant with him. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8. Will a man rob God? Question mark. Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein we have robbed you? In tithe and offering. Notice there's two different things there. They're not the same. I only got one amen, thank God. But watch. If you don't do that, what does Malachi 3 and 10 say? 3 and 9. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even the whole nation. Bring you all the tithes in the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now wherewith saith the Lord of hosts. If I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you. Turn to your neighbor and say, that means you. Turn to your other neighbor and say, you too. It means it will pour out you a blessing. And there shall not be room enough to receive it. That's the type of blessing I want in my life. That's the type of blessing I want in our church. That's why I want God to bless you. Is I want God to say, God, I want you to bless me where there's not even room to have to receive it. That's what I'm talking about, somebody. I got a lot of room. Say, God, you bless here and bless there and bless here. Can I get a witness, somebody? I pray this over my finances. I pray this over the church finances. I tell you this with every ounce of passion. Whatever you give, pray this over your offering. Why? Because God's bound to his word. Listen to me. I'm trying to help somebody out. When you do this, you need to pray and say, God, you said in your word. God, the Bible says he's bound to his word. It is his law. He is literally bound by the word of God. And when you say, God, you said this in your word, he'll do it. But watch, he goes on to say, this is what part two. A lot of people just say, God, give me a blessing. But I like to pray the second part. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. And he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor the vine cast her fruit before the time of the field, saith the Lord of hosts. That's the beauty of praying is, God, don't just bless me, but rebuke the devourer. God, let my car not break down. Let the furnace not break down. Let the roof not leak. Can I get a witness? Somebody, all the homeowners saying amen up in here. Y'all that are renting, like, I don't care. Let it leak. Amen. You say rebuke the devourer for your sake. Now watch this. The reason that's why when we give to God, we give and say, God, I trust you. It is your stuff, and I'm giving you glory out of this. And I don't just give so I can get, and I don't just give so I can be seen. But what happens when God speaks to you to give to the homeless man that nobody will ever see? Do you do that then? What about the person that's panhandling on the street that when they come walking down with their sign, conveniently, all of a sudden, you do one of these numbers. I would love to see a phone, can I get a witness somebody, right? I would love to see a fact, I know it's impossible, of how many people pull up their phones when a panhandler is walking by. I'd love to sit one day on the side of a street, this is a dream, sit on the side of the street, watch a panhandler and mark it down. It would be an amazing study, I'm telling you. Okay, all seven of you are with me. You can join me, it'll be a lot of fun, right? There's another one. It's amazing, right? Those people, all of a sudden, you just look straight ahead. No eye contact. It's like Jurassic Park. It's like if they don't look at me, if they don't see me, they won't know I'm here, right? What is that? The question is, how do we live when it's just not seen as well? Do we just live and do we just give so that we can be seen? Or do we do it unto the Lord? Because the Bible says, when you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. So how do we treat Jesus when nobody's looking? How do we treat people when nobody else knows except him? Are we willing to give him the glory when nobody else knows, when we don't have to post it on social media? Here I am giving a cheeseburger to a homeless man, smile. Can I get a witness, somebody? Here I am, I just fed this whole people, selfie, everybody smile. Could it be that perhaps the reason I am always open about sharing what we do here? Ooh, see, I knew that was going to happen. That happened earlier. For the mic, I don't know what we're going to do about that. We're going to kill the monitors. Hang with me, somebody. We had this problem today. And this must be the devil fighting. That's just a joke. I'm just kidding. Hopefully we thought Brother McCurry was going to fix it. And the mains. Glory. Can everybody hear me? Good, we're gonna go old school. Now, here's what we know. There's still a slight hum of the Lord. Here's what we know, is that the Lord, when he's asking us to follow and trust in him giving, he's asking, are we going to follow him in every area of our life? Are we going to give to him or we don't get credit? And that's where sometimes pastors shares that to say, hey, this is what our church is doing. Get involved in this. And I hope that you do get involved. And I pray that, you know what, God help our church to do more. Can I get a witness, somebody? But the question is when I get glory, do I give it to God or do I take it for myself? Am I doing this so I can get praise or am I doing this so somebody will say, man, look at what they're doing. They are the best thing ever. We just love them. Oh, yada, yada, yada. No. And in Romans chapter 1, we find this. He says, because that when they glorified him not as God. When we don't view God as God, that's when we refuse to glorify him. But if we have the right perspective that God is God all the time, I'm here today to tell somebody, you'll begin to give him the glory and you'll begin to give him the honor and you'll give him the praise. Because God is a good God, and he's an awesome God, and he's a great God. Somebody give him some glory right now. Amen. But verse 25 in Romans chapter 1 says, these people, they changed the truth of God into a lie, and they worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Today we have to consider the person that gives God no credit. When people don't give credit to God, there's a problem. In fact, I said this a few weeks ago in trying to start this process and get to this point for this sermon right here. But let me say this, that God is a jealous God. God is a jealous God. He stands beside nobody. He stands beside nothing. He says, I am the God and there is none beside me. I deserve all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. And we know that in Acts chapter 12, we are introduced to King Herod. King Herod in Acts gives a little bit of a commentary that in the year 42 AD, Herod, king in Judea, killed the apostle James with the sword. He is the godfather. James was the rock of the church. And when he saw it pleased the Jews, King Herod decides, now I'm going to kill another. I'm going after Peter, the apostle, the one who Jesus gave the keys to the kingdom. And the night before Herod was about to dispose of him, an angel of the Lord woke Peter, gets him out of the prison unarmed. After going to the house of Mary, the mother of John Mark, where the disciples were praying for him, Peter leaves town. And the next morning, Herod, the king, is enraged that Peter has escaped. He was going to kill Peter, just like he had killed James. And as he decided, I'm going to kill this Peter. I am going to get rid of him. And everybody's going to say, good job, King Herod. He said, no. I'm going to find another time to do that. He leaves Judea, and he goes down to the coastal town of Caesarea, where a very strange, terrible thing happens. History tells us that King Herod has a grudge against the people of Caesarea. Pastor was in Caesarea this year in February when I was in Israel. And Caesarea is a town that's on the coast. Absolutely beautiful. Often when Paul is writing some of his letters from prison and about horse races, I stood there in the prisons that he was kept in, one of the two, and looked and thought, this is where the Apostle Paul penned the letter. I finished the fight. I finished my course, run the race. And he's there in Caesarea where the king was. And in Caesarea is a small town. There's a theater and there's a racetrack. There's some houses there. But Caesarea was an important town because it was on the coast. So fishing and trade and culture were there. It was money in Caesarea. It was a seat of government in Caesarea. And now we find that Caesarea is where Herod is. And Caesarea was important because at the same time, King Herod held them over because they were dependent on food from the farms. They were traders, not farmers. So holding the money, it gave him a great sense of power to have others so dependent on him. Acts chapter 12 in your Bibles, starting in verse 21 through 23, says, and on an appointed day, Herod put on his royal robes. Watch what the Bible says. He takes a seat upon the throne, and he begins to speak to them. And the people shout, the voice of God, and not of man. And immediately, an angel of the Lord struck him. Why did it kill him? Can you imagine? The angel kills the king, the most powerful man in the domain, is now killed. And the Bible says he struck him because he did not give God the glory and was eaten by worms. God is jealous of his glory. God is jealous of his glory. We find a similar situation in Acts chapter 5. And we find in Acts chapter 5 in verse 2, if I could sum up the story for the sake of time. The Bible says that there's two people, Ananias. And Ananias and his wife decide, we're going to sell a piece of property. We're going to give. Because in that day, in that time, in that age, people sold everything and brought it to the church, and then they gave it out to people who had need. And people came in and they'd sell a piece of property and say, God, I'm going to give this whole thing. And man, people think that's amazing. Great job. Wow, look at all that we can do. And Ananias had something go wrong in his heart. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me to Acts chapter 5 so you see what Pastor's talking about here. Because when we talk about living the given, what happens when we don't live the way God wants us to give? And what happens when we don't live the way that God wants us to be thankful in this Thanksgiving? See, Acts chapter 5 and verse 2, the Bible says, and they kept back part of the price. Get the picture. They sell the land. They don't have to give anything to the church. They don't have to give it. It's a free will offering. An offering that they can give unto God. And because it's an offering they can give to God, there's no requirements. It's not like tithe 10%. It's not, hey, you've got to give 14.5% tax rate. No! That'd be a low tax rate. Can I get a witness, somebody, right? That's my type of tax rate. Mm. Neither here nor there. One of our teenagers got a job and came recently and said, man, I can't believe the amount of taxes they take. I said, I know, it's crazy, right? Working has its setbacks. But watch. They decide we're going to lie about what God has given us. We're going to lie about what we give. We're going to come tell them we sold it for a certain amount and we gave all of that to the church. Why? Because they wanted to look better and look like it was greater than what it really was. Even when they didn't have to, because it was in their heart, giving God glory and giving God praise and being thankful starts with the heart. It's a heart issue. That's why it's so important. It's a heart issue. When you don't give God glory, it's because you think it's yours. But when your heart's right, you don't care. You begin to say, God, I give it to you. This is your glory. Amen. Thanks be to God. Brother Humphreys, if you want to try to turn me up, you can. If you want to hit the monitors and speaker, it's up to you. But watch this. What we find is that as they're going, they decide, I'm going to keep back part of it. And him and his wife begin to conspire. There should have been an investigation and a probe into that. That's a good cultural joke, just for fun. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. I know, across the line, too much, too soon, sorry. Just trying to be funny. I thought it was cute. Okay. You should have heard me yesterday. There was no filter. Okay. Now, but Peter says, get to their going, Pastor. Get to your going. Verse 3. But Peter says, he calls them in. And he says, they come and they lay it at the apostles' feet. But Peter says in verse 3, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Why are you lying? You didn't need to. See, when you lie, it's not just to the individual. It's to God. They thought they would deceive. He said, why did you lie to the Holy Ghost and keep back part of the price of land? While it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own power? Why have you conceived this thing in thy heart? In thy heart. For thou hast lied, not lied unto men, but unto God. And watch verse 5. And as Ananias, hearing the words, fell down instantly, gave up the ghost. God literally struck him dead at the moment. And great fear came upon all them that heard these things. Now, if you keep reading there, what you find is this. Is that there's men, they go bury him. They didn't even have a wake. They didn't have a funeral. There wasn't a cute word said over him. That a nice guy was a great guy. We're going to miss him. Not at all. They didn't even have the niceness to say nice things. They didn't even have nice lies about him. You know, sometimes that's what funerals are. Can I get a witness, somebody? Sometimes people are just talking at a funeral like, I knew that person. That wasn't that person. Y'all been there too. But watch. They put him straight in the ground. The wife comes in and Peter says, did you sell it for this price? She said, we did sell it for that price. Look at verse 6, 7, and 8. And he said, the same people that buried your husband are at the door. And instantly, God kills her too. Why? Doesn't that seem a little harsh? Because you lied and you deceived, God kills you? I mean, can I just be honest and kind of maybe a rambling out loud thinking? Doesn't that seem a little much? Anybody ever told a lie in here? Can I be honest? Don't lie about lying, folks, all right? Just, all right? If everybody looks ahead, nobody will know you're lying, right? I don't know, right? Can you imagine if you lied and God killed you? I know I wouldn't be here today. Pastor's an honest pastor. But watch. The reason it was such a deal is because it wasn't just deceptive, but it was stealing the glory from God. God is serious about his glory, somebody. When we say all the glory and honor and praise, praise is thanksgiving. That's why he said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. That means if you're breathing, you ought to praise him. You ought to give him thanks. You ought to give him glory. I'm sure there's something you can give him thanks about. I'm sure there's something that you can begin to thank God about. I'm sure that God's done something for you sometime, somewhere, somehow, where you can say, God, I can give you some thanks about that. God, I can give you some thanks about that. I know that it's Thanksgiving season and people are thankful, and people are going to be thankful for turkey. Can I get a witness? And people are going to be thankful for stuffing. Can I get a witness? And people are going to be, some people are going to be thankful for squash, but not this guy. Blessings to you, or zucchini, I don't know about you, but I'm going to be thankful for the stuff I like, some good pecan pie. Can I get a witness? There's going to be people that are thankful for the food, and there will be people that are probably thankful for maybe what God's given them. But I'm here today to tell you, I wonder when we talk about living for the given, I wonder what happens when we begin to thank God for everything, good and bad, because it's his that he has blessed us with. And God begins to say, this could be a tough year for you. But the question I say is, who gets the glory from my actions today? When you go before God and you say, God, I give you the glory, first we have to understand today, it should reflect to the Lord. Second point is that God gets glory from the way we live. So the reality of it is we live based on our actions. We are not saved from our good actions, but our actions make people realize that we are different, and our action is our light, and our light illuminates our God. And when we understand, we give glory to God, and God, I want to give you all the glory, less self, more him. I must decrease so that he must increase. Can I get a witness, somebody? I want God to give the glory. I give God the glory in every area of my life. I give God the glory on Sunday morning. I want to give God the glory at my job. I want to give God the glory when I'm by myself. I want to give God the glory when nobody sees it. I want to give God the glory when nobody else is going to say, good job, way to go. I give God the glory for those things. Let's all stand. Now, I'm just going to tell you, next week, pastor's going to be up front with you. When we talk about living the given, living for the given, come on, it's just catchy, isn't it? I mean, that's so cool. You know, you got a cool pastor, folks. I come up with rhymes like Dr. Seuss. I got cool titles. All right, I'm working on it. But when we also forgive, we give God the glory. It's not just in our finances, it's in our actions. And we're going to go there. I'm just going to tell you right now. But there's a difference between being thankful and being grateful too. I want to have a spirit of I'm grateful. I'm a spirit of I'm thankful. I'm a spirit of God. I'm going to take it to a new level and a new depth. That God, I want you to get all the glory, all the honor, all the praise in my life, in every area of my life. Because it's not just mine, but it's what you've given me. And I understand. I must decrease. so that he can increase. I must decrease so that he can increase. What a shame that God says, I am going to get the glory out of this situation. And I refuse to rob God of his glory. Our actions give God glory, somebody. Ephesians 2 and 10 says, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good deeds, which God prepared beforehand. Beforehand. That means before you faced it, God prepared you to face it. Before it even came, God already knew it was going to come, and he already provided an answer. He already provided a solution. He said, beforehand, I prepared you that we should walk in them. Today, I want you to understand something, that you are created for his glory. You are created, and our actions give God the glory. It is a fact that we must act. That was a good rhyme. Don't give me credit for that. I worked hard on that too. I spent a lot of time on that one-liner. Created for his glory. Paul says in Titus chapter 2 and verse 14 that Christ gave himself for us to redeem us from all iniquity, to purify for himself a people of his own, who are zealous for good deeds. Today, with every head bowed and every eye closed, Peter, who was delivered from prison by the angel, escaped death the next morning from King Herod, said this: as each has received a gift, employ it for one another as good stewards, as God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, let him speak as one who utters the oracles of God. Whoever renders service, let him render it as one who renders it by the strength which God supplies, in order that in everything God might be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. I come today to say this, is that God, I pray that our church would be removed of any self, and God be called unto service of sacrifice, saying, God, I serve you. I am a steward for you. In every area, God, I give you the glory. Today is a day that if you need to make some changes in your life, you need to probably repent. If you have put yourself above God, I'm here today to tell you as pastor, you need to repent before God, because God will tolerate it only so long. And then the long-suffering mercies of God will eventually disappear, and God will no longer tolerate it. God is a merciful God, but he is not somebody that will dismiss it. God will give mercy, and he'll give opportunity. That day he took that, there was opportunity to change. It was an opportunity for the Ananias' wife to say, no, we did this, we messed up. But because she participated in the lie, and she decided, I'm going to cover, and I'm going to preserve self, it was that moment that began to cause a problem. And that moment of stealing God's glory said, I gave you an opportunity. Now it's over. Today, I give it to the Lord. I wonder if there's an area in your life where you need to say, God, I give you this. I give you the glory. I give you the honor. I give you the praise. Today is your day to start. In this Thanksgiving season, we start by saying, God, I don't just want to live this season Thanksgiving. I want to live a life of Thanksgiving. I want to live a life of gratitude. That when they say, give God the glory, I'm really there to say, God, I give you the glory and the honor and the praise, because it's all yours. Every light is giving glory to God. I wonder if today we could come down to this altar and find a moment where you could find a place and begin to say, God, I give you myself. Unlike the rich young ruler, I give you my heart. I give you my mind. mind. I give you my soul. I give you the glory in every area of my life, God. I give you the praise in every area of my life. I wonder if you would come down to this altar and begin to make a consecration and a commitment unto God, saying, Lord, in the name of Jesus, right now, help us, oh God, that we would know you. Help us, oh God, that we would follow you. Help us, oh God, that we may begin to chase after you. God, I chase after your glory. I chase after your honor, God. I chase after doing whatever it is that you're calling me to do. God, I give you the glory and the honor and the praise in every area, God, in every single area, because it is not mine, it is yours. I am simply a steward of what you've done in my life, God. I pray in the name of Jesus, God, I must decrease so that you can increase. Father, I pray that, Lord, you would help me, God. Help me to overcome. Bless me, oh God. Bless my family. Bless my finances. Bless my health, God. Bless me, God, so that I can serve you more, so that I can give you more glory and more honor and more glory and more honor. In the name of Jesus, I declare it right now by the power and authority of the Word of God. I wonder if you would begin to repent and say, God, I'm sorry if I have wrong motives. I'm sorry if I've done things out of impure motives. Help me, oh God, that I may know you. Help me, oh God, that I may follow you. Help me, oh God, that I may do what you want me to do. For God, I am your workmanship. Oh, Jesus.
With open hands, Lord, I bring everything and nothing less. My best.
Surrender to you right now. I surrender every area. I surrender, God, my wants, my needs. I trust in you today. God, I surrender, oh God. Hallelujah, Jesus. God, I surrender right now. I surrender it to you, God. I give it to you that I may be following you, God, that I may please you. God, help my heart. Help my heart today follow you. Yes, Jesus. We need you, oh God.